Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a special edition of the Mr. Warren Hayes Show. I, of course, am Mr. Warren Hayes, and we are immediately, like literally a few minutes, just done with the first night of Wrestle Kingdom 16, New Japan Pro Wrestling, for those of you who are paying attention, and this is where we're at. This is where I am right now. We're going to recap the show. And when I say we, I'm joined once again by his eminent lordship himself, Lord Mags. How are you, Magsy?
Why, hello. What? I can't sell that gimmick. That's well, enough of that.
I learned this week, for those of you who Mags is an actual lord. This is a shoot. He's an actual lord. I found this out earlier this week when we did the preview show together, right? Mm-hmm. That we did it just a couple of days ago. And now, upon that, the promise of doing post-streams night one. We're also going to do night two as well, but right now we're focused on night one that just finished. And I'm excited to talk about it with you, Magsy. You doing good?
Yeah, I'm doing really good. For context, over here, it's lunchtime in the UK. So well, it's awesome.
Well, there you go. See, that's the thing. Like, I'm at a point where I'm like, oh, I'm going to ease off into a nice little snooze after this. Whereas Mags is like, where are the mince pies? Where are the crumpets? Where are the what else? What is British cuisine? Isn't that it? That's pretty much it, right?
Chicken tikka masala, the national dish of the UK.
Oh, the irony! but yeah, look, I want to thank everyone for joining us right now live on YouTube.com/MrWarrenHayes who are either in an appropriate time zone or completely irresponsible like I am, or if you're watching this on demand on YouTube, hey, consider giving the video a thumbs up, a like. Mm-hmm. That I really, really appreciate. Or you can also, or if you're listening to this on your favorite podcast application, that's also really dope. You can show some love there as well. Reviews, 5-star reviews, likes, subscriptions, whatever you can do. That kind of stuff is really appreciated. Thank you so much. And I just want to say a big thank you to Nick Wolf, who's joining us in the chat this morning and left a super chat. Thank you very much. I appreciate it a great deal. It says, good morning, Mr. Hayes. Thank you very much, Nick. It's good to see you as well. Appreciate it. So we got a first night out of the way. I'm struggling on how, well, but, you know, not really struggling. I might be slightly exaggerating, but I'm struggling on how to approach this. But look, I think we'll just go right ahead. What did you think of the show overall, Magsy?
I thought it was a fun show, you guys.
Oh, now hang on a second. Yeah, you may be some form of nobility, you know, but it still doesn't exempt you from trademark infringement.
That's fair. I concede. I thought it started pretty well. I thought the Rambo was entertaining. For as unneeded as it was entertaining. Then we get into the main card, and it didn't start with the kind of pizzazz I thought it could have done. Went a little bit downhill in the middle of the card, to the point where thinking, is this a bust? Does this prove that Wrestle Kingdom doesn't need two nights? But then you get to those final three matches, and God damn, they were amazing matches.
Well, I have a feeling you're being a little more generous than I am in regards to this show. But I think the best way to have a look at it is to go through the matches one by one, your lordship.
That's fine with me. You may proceed.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Let's start right ahead. Get right into it with the pre-show match, right? Which was the New Japan Rambo. These things are what they are. Not necessarily going to run through everything that happened. There were 19 entrants. There were a couple of surprises here, though. There were a couple of people that we were not expecting to see. Taka Michinoku being one of them, making a return to New Japan after being embroiled in that scandalous scandal where he cheated on his wife.
I half expected him to be in it because I saw the upcoming schedule, and Takatachi Mania is booked for this year. So I thought he would make his comeback somewhere, and it was in the pre-show.
It was, well, there you go. So that was one thing here. And then after him, we saw Shima.
Yes.
Jumping in here. The world's greatest grifter. Finessing his way into working both nights of Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, and I think Chris Charlton said on the commentary that he hasn't been in New Japan since 2009.
That sounds about right. 13 years almost.
Yeah.
So that was something. Like I was legitimately surprised by that. We also got a bunch of course of young lions who were in there, and near 70-year-old Fujinami,
yes,
getting involved, walking down, fully in full gear, ready to go, just jumping in there. As commentary pointed out, was there from the get-go of New Japan.
From the very first ever match,
1972, exactly. So that was a big deal. I will say, when he was coming down the ring, I was like, "Oh, is he on the Sting regimen?" And then he started wrestling. I was like, "Nope, he is not." But that's okay. I mean, that wasn't the point, right? The point.
Tell me you didn't pop for that dragon screw.
Oh, for sure, for sure. No, that's absolutely for true. Like, you're like, he's like, I don't want to say anything because I'm not completely sure on my lore on that one, but isn't he the one who's credited with inventing the dragon screw leg whip? Yeah, right.
He is.
That's what I thought. So I mean, all that shit happened in your usual bunch of folks who are in the Rambo were there. Final four: Minoru Suzuki, Toru Yano, Chase Owens, and Shima, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm.
And Yano does what Yano does best and gets through with doing literally nothing. Awesome.
You know, you just goes to prove how far you can coast just on charm, Max.
Correct.
So these are going to be the four participants in the King of Pro Wrestling match for the trophy, the coveted trophy to establish the first King of Pro Wrestling champion. Is it a champion or is it a winner?
It's the
provisional.
The provisional champion.
Yes. For 2022 anyway, because it gets reset every year. So it's going to be those four. We're going to be facing off with each other tomorrow. Look. Yano, Suzuki, Shima, Owens, all very capable people. Yano's going to do Yano things. Suzuki is not afraid of getting silly if need be, you know. Chase Owens has worked often with Yano as well. They're able to go either way. They're lean into the nonsense. And then there's Shima in there. But I don't know. Like, I have no idea what to expect from this. Do you have any thoughts on the upcoming match?
I mean, the fact that they've got the actual King of Pro Wrestling in the King of Pro Wrestling match kind of may telegraph what happens, but it's certainly a better looking match than what we come up with in our predictions. I mean, would you rather have Shima or would you rather have Farley? Would you rather have Duke or would you rather have Minoru Suzuki?
Fair enough. Very, very fair enough. I'm okay. Outside of all of that, the Rambo is what it is. You know, it was very cool, you know, to see Fujinama and Shima sharing a ring, you know, at the same time. That was pretty cool. Suzuki murdering the young lions. That to me is a sign of nature healing itself. Any other moments stuck out for you for the in the Rambo, Magsy?
Yeah, I think the young lion Oiwa had a really good showing, going up against Suzuki. Very brave. Suzuki coming out and laying the smack on everyone. That was fun. But yeah, it was a typical Rumble match. It was fun for what it was, but nothing that you would want to go back and watch again.
Same here.
Good start. Let's see if we can keep this going.
Now, we've got people in the chat actually saying, wishing you a good morning to you, your lordship. You know,
That's cool. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at RealBuilderMott, apparently, according to the comments.
Full context, there's someone who left a comment on our preview show this week who said, Warren, I thought you were doing your New Japan show with Bill DeMott. And I'm like, no, he's not cursing at me enough.
I was equal parts blessed and disgusted with that comment.
But look, I'll take a second here to say hello to Daniel Griffin. How you doing? We've got Reese Hayes as well. No relation, but surely a very quality human being. And Evan Wright, who's here as well. Nice to see you, Evan.
Hello, guys.
Let's move on to the first match of the main card here, where we got our boys, formerly of Roppongi 3K, of course, right? Show versus Yo. Immediately, like, this one just goes nuts very, very quickly, straight out the gate. Mm-hmm. Yo almost immediately with the Topi Con Hilo to the floor, and he drags Show up the ramp. Show, we're not quite sure what Yo had in mind, but because Show fights back, tossing event staff into Yo and body slamming Yo onto the apron. Yo starts working over Show's leg with some dragon screws, starts hobbling the leg. Big strikes by Yo. There's a German suplex as well. Show can't do anything, Mags. Like, he's completely overrun, at least in the first part of the match. Mm-hmm. He actually has to, you know, start using some underhanded tactics, throwing the ref into Yo to hit a spear to be able to get the upper hand here, right?
Yep, snapping the fingers. This was in the first half of this match. It was all Yo. He just absolutely took it to the tickle machine. It was a great showing from Solid State Drive, you're in this first half of the match.
Solid State Drive. They're
awful nicknames, aren't
they're
they?
They're terrible.
Japan nicknames are awful.
They probably sound really cool, like in Japanese, you know? It's like, you know, the
Direct Drive, yo!
Show hit some great strikes. There's a power bomb and a straight jacket pile driver as well. Hey, you know what? Dick Togo shows up, and no. Yeah,
I did not expect this. Shook.
He shows up. The Spanner makes an appearance. I had actually called that on our prediction show, if you do recall. Yeah, the Spanner makes an appearance here.
It's the only thing you got right about this match.
Well, yes, true. Togo distracts the ref, but Yo shoves Show into the ref, which knocks Togo off the apron, hits him with the Spanner, whatever. Mm-hmm. And ends up allowing Yo to get the pin. Now, not only that, but after the match, Show comes back after Yo, but Yo is able to fight everyone off and really stands tall in the middle of the ring. I'm going to tell you, this is absolutely the opposite of the prediction that I had. Because, yeah, I thought Show was going to win. I'm still extremely high on Show. I still think he's fantastic and he deserves to get a really, really good push. But look at that. Look at the flip we just got here. You got Show not only winning the match, but driving the House of Torture away, Max.
Yeah, and it's pretty much exactly how I predicted. I thought that Show, as he's been the star of a Punky Freak game. Yor was always the kind of the Martin Ginetta. But after this, after the Best of the Super Juniors, he really come out of his shell. Shaw is bulletproof. I mean, it's a pity he's in House of Torture. I can't stand it. But he is always going to go on and be a huge star. I think Yor needed this more than Shaw did. And it was a cool little kind of a force out of Yor being able to fend off the shenanigans of the House of Torture, because we will be speaking about him again a little bit.
Oh, yes, we shall. By Jesus Christ, we shall. As for the match itself, I don't know what you thought. It didn't do nothing for me. It did. Hang on.
I agree.
No, that's a double negative. Hang on a second. It did nothing for me.
I agree. And I said in our predictions that this had the potential to be sleeper of the night. And I think if we didn't get that that shenanigans, we could have got there. I think this, it felt to me it needed an extra 5 minutes of them going absolutely balls to the wall. And we just didn't get that. I don't think it came out of second gear.
Too short.
I
didn't even feel a gear change, really. It's sort of like it started like it felt like it was about to build to something, and the next thing you know, Togo appears, and you're like, oh, well, this all just went to shit. Yeah. And it really did. And I'm super disappointed. Because as far as an opening match goes, like this, I didn't feel any electricity. I didn't feel, I mean, it's hard to gauge crowd reactions, like, because of, you know, what the audiences are expected to not do in Japan right now, but it just felt like a dead match to me.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it kind of sets the tone for the first few matches. It really took a while for this show to kick into a high gear. To say I was disappointed would be an understatement. It was certainly not the worst match I've ever seen, but it could have been so much better. So much better.
Look, I think it's important to preface this, and I just want to say hello to AJ Jr. and Queen of North, of NE? The Queen of NE?
No.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Oh, that New Japan poser. The one who only rocks up at Wrestle Kingdom.
Wow.
No, lots of love.
Bang, bang, bang. All right. Good to see you. Welcome to the chat. But I do want to preface this, like, at least on my end, Mags, like, you know, and I think it's the same thing, like, when, you know, we sit and we review stuff like WrestleMania, you know, these big type of matches here. I think there's, you do have to take into consideration that this is Wrestle Kingdom. It's the biggest show of the year for New Japan. It's their kickoff of the new year. I think there are expectations, right? So when you do get matches that are middling like this on your biggest show of the year, you go, no, this is not off to a, this ain't off to a good start.
Yeah, and it kind of rubber stamps the point I made on the predictions that this to me shows that Wrestle Kingdom needed to go back to one night, especially for this show.
Yeah, well,
it was too much filler.
I think there'd be ways to avoid that, but look, hang on, we'll chat about it as we go along.
You have attached your cart to New Japan Wrestle Kingdom being a two night event.
I'm completely for two night events for big two. I'm for that, but look, hang on, we'll talk about it in a second. We've also got Daniel Hayes, who's in the chat. Warren Hayes, Daniel Hayes, Reese Hayes, as Evan Wright points out, it's the haze of torture happening right now.
Boom.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Evan.
Next match. Zero week, guys. Try the veal.
Pretty much. Yeah, exactly. Stay safe. Drive home safely. Hiroshi Tanahashi and the mega coaches, Rocky Romero and Taguchi, took on the Bullet Club group of Kenta and Bullet Club's cutest, Taiji Ishimori and El Fantasmo. Good exchanges, particularly between Taguchi and Ishimori, which I thought was really good. You know, you see some typical spots. You see, you know, some El Fantasmo doing El Fantasmo nonsense, which I personally enjoy. I know he grates a lot of people when he does that kind of stuff. But you know, the Bullet Club prettiest do the crotch spot on the Tree of Woe on Taguchi. Taguchi actually is the babyface in peril for the majority of this match. There's a ref bump that happens. Yeah, well, okay. That's it. Hiroshi Tanahashi gets the hot tag, runs in. Rex House. There's a ref bump. Kenta, who had come to the ring with a kendo stick, goes and grabs said kendo stick and starts waylaying on Tanahashi. Eventually, Tanahashi fights back, gets the kendo stick, and starts to enact revenge on Kenta. But lo and behold, the referee is back. And the referee sort of sees Tanahashi with the kendo stick and says, hey, don't do it. Tanahashi's like, fuck you. And he goes over Kenta, forcing the DQ. Yeah.
It was a match that happened.
It was a few minutes that, yep, that occurred. I
mean, there were some fun things that happened in this match. Phantasmo shouting to Rocker, nobody wants to know what's in your pants. That was fun. Taji Ishimori face into the ass crack of Taguchi. That was fun. And then the Hogan in the Rumble 1992 move by Tanahashi. That was fun. It was a preview match for tomorrow. Nothing more and nothing less.
Which should not be on your correct. On the main card of the biggest show of the year.
Correct.
Get the go home. Get the Road 2 shows off of my card. Mm-hmm. Put them on the Road 2. Do anything else. Or hey, better. Here's another big brained idea here. Don't book a match if you don't have a match to book.
Because the show cause one night Wrestle Kingdom,
or keep it at two.
Just have two matches. But
you could strike this, and you could strike the next match too. And instead of having a four hour show, you could like just go and be like, oh, just a little shorter, a little easier to get into. I thought that this got to me because. Not because I don't understand the story elements. I'm not an idiot. But I feel like it didn't have its place. Like, I'm like, put this on a Tuesday night, you know, on the way, like on a, you know, just on the road kind of thing, anywhere else. I'm not complaining. I'm like, all right, I see what they're doing.
This could headline a weekly New Japan show, maybe on Access.
Maybe on Access TV, because they did announce that New Japan is returning to Access Television in the United States as the having Impact Wrestling as its lead-in. Mm. Isn't that interesting? Oh. See, that's usually what you do, right? You have the lead-in, you have the lead-in, the popular lead-in to your show, right? Because that's what you do usually. You put your popular show, and then the show you want people to watch, you put it after the lead-in. Because that's the one you want people to watch.
And yet they go in the totally opposite way.
It's interesting. But, I mean, just on that front, it's really interesting, I find, that the relationship between Access and New Japan has clearly improved, or Anthem at large, right? Man, management in New Japan over the course of late 2019, 2020 must have been absolute dog shit for all those bridges to be burned. Then all of a sudden, you know, new bunch of people come in and Chairman Shigebayashi is back on top of stuff. And it's like, yeah, let's mend everything that was torn down. Like, okay. Yeah.
Harold Midge had a lot to answer for.
Yeah. I'm really, really curious about it. Anyway, hopefully someone will write a book.
I'd like maybe that. Chris Charlton.
Chris,
get writing that book, sir.
Will Ospreay, the Great O'Con, and Jeff Cobb, better known as the United Empire, faced off against the LIJ squad of Tetsuya Naito, Sanada, and Bushi. I think we called this one straight down the line. It said Bushi's there to take the pin.
You nailed it. I think I went with a Jeff Cobb taking
the
win. You got it spot on with the Will Ospreay.
The United Empire take out LIJ just at the bell without Will Ospreay getting involved. He just decided to sit back and not do anything. My highlight in here was Cobb and Tetsuya Naito that had a great exchange to establish their match again for tomorrow. Again, this is a match that...
I felt the same about Khan and Sonata when they faced off Khan finally getting locked in that paradise lock. I thought that was a good little segment in this match.
The LIJ squad triple team Cobb and they start working the knee, but Tetsuya Naito had been working Jeff Cobb's knee throughout the Road 2 shows as well. Great O'Con and Sonata have a nice little moment. I think we're going to see Great O'Con do a pescado tomorrow or a slingshot.
He teased it.
But you know what it reminded me of? You know, like sometimes if you've ever owned a cat or you've seen cat videos, and you know, when they think they want to, they think they can make the jump, but they're not sure. And you see the cat going, you know, he's sort of like on the edge of a counter, and then he's, I'll be able to jump onto that shelf over there, but it's kind of far, and he's sort of prepping himself, and he's like, no, I can't go. And that's what it kind of reminded me of. A big fucking cat in the case of...
Now we just need to see him attempt it and then fail miserably and fall flat
on his face.
Yeah.
Look, the match all comes to an end when Ospreay hits a hidden blade on Bushi for the win. Establishes the fact that, you know, Ospreay's, he's not going to break his back in this match because he's got a bigger match tomorrow, which makes me made me wonder, why should I bother then?
I mean, it was exactly like the previous match. This was a preview for the matches that we are getting tomorrow.
I'll say that I enjoyed this one a little more than the previous one. I thought there was a little more meat to the bone, but look, I'll tell you one thing. You're right that these are the kinds of matches and the kind of things that happen on this card that are a solid argument to getting rid of Wrestle Kingdom as a two-night affair. Because if you're just going to stuff it with these type of filler matches, nah, I'm not interested.
I mean, I will give LRJ props, though. They brought the drip. Member of LRJ looked absolutely amazing. Just glorious, glorious drip. And the match was, it was what it was. It was a fun match, but with no particular... gravitas.
Naito's mask, and I'd have to go back and watch it, but it was a combination of it looked like it wanted to be a combination of all of the LIJ members, right? Because it had the skull. Like, I noticed it had the skull, it had a bit of the dragon, but I didn't see like anything particularly Bushi. I didn't see like any feathers for Hiromu, you know, so like I wasn't quite entirely sure, but I think that's what he was going for.
And yet poor Sonata got the Wish version of a Squid Game mask. It looks like he's got a child's mask on. It's more strap than mask.
Look, if he wants to give up. but yeah, look, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Then the people's main event happened. Katsuyori Shibata returned to the ring. His mystery opponent was his son.
His regen.
Ren Narita. That was actually cool. Like, we had speculated, I had speculated maybe like Minoru Suzuki for the whole, you know. Ren Narita was fun though, right? That was a nice little surprise.
Yeah, if we weren't getting Suzuka, it had to be somebody in the mold of Shibata and Ren Narita, or even if we'd have got a shorter, that would have been a cool pick. But they swerved McSwerved us, didn't they? Go, Shibata, you naughty, naughty little chappy.
He comes to the ring, he hits the ring, he asks for a microphone. And he says, yeah, you know what? We're not doing these rules anymore. Yes, I explained the rules at the press conference. Yes, I you know, made sure that everyone knew what we were doing. But you know what? Turns out, we're not doing it. Screw that. We're going for a full-on match. Which is something I had that was backing my Suzuki theory. Because I was like, no, you know what? I bet there. I had thought that they were going to do the catch match, but at some point Suzuki was going to just lose patience and start beating the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Forcing a DQ for Suzuki. But Shibata's like, no, 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 no. Stop protecting me. I'm not made of porcelain. Let's do this.
Which is exactly how you called it. That New Japan wouldn't put him in a ring if they weren't confident that he could go with full wrestling rules. And you were right. You absolutely nailed that.
I think we'll go through the match very quickly here. Kevin Kelly, right, was calling it like as if he said it himself. He said Shibata went into business for himself, you know, asked for the microphone. Is it, do you think this was a shoot?
No. They get a lot of swear, but they would have had to have run this past the authorities. No way with the injury that Shibata had. There's no way he could have said no.
No, but I mean for the rules. Staff, right? For like, because you can do a. Of course, you know this would have all been cleared with management and Gedo and everyone doing their okay. But like, not informing Narita. You know, that could have been, that could have been a thing.
Pop the boys.
Not telling the ringside crew, not telling anyone backstage other than, you know, those who were really in a need to know basis, the ref, you know, maybe. Other than that, you know, just like, you know, when I say shoot, you know, I mean work shoot.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, you know, I like to think that that might have been the case, but... More than likely, everyone was aware. Of course, lots of grappling. There's a figure four by Shibata. There's some great striking by Narita as well. Shibata hits the basement shotgun dropkick in the corner to a tear in my eye.
That was so good. That dropkick was so good.
Well, I mean, we had been waiting for that for how long now? Mm-hmm. Right? So, of course, it was fantastic. Armbar is countered Shibata gets an armbar on Narita and he counters it into a Texas Cloverleaf, which was really cool.
The Narita special.
Yes. Narita tries to suplex Shibata and then he tries to do a Cobra twist, but Shibata then counters out and into one of his own, which was also fantastic. There's a great kick exchange between the two, which was absolutely fantastic. Just some great stuff. Moves into some strikes, you know, and Shibata clearly has his guard over his head, you know, and Narita's trying to break it. And just fantastic stuff. Of course, big old kick will seal the deal for Shibata. Gets the win over his son. you know what... Well, what did you think of the match, Magsy?
For somebody who, like I mentioned in the predictions, I missed the boat on the whole. I essentially got into New Japan in the weeks after the Shibata injury. So I missed that whole boat. I've gone back and watched a lot of his stuff, and he's absolutely superb. And it's just the emotion. This match could have absolutely stunk the place out. And yet we would have still loved it because it's goddamn Shibata back in a ring. Mm-hmm. But it didn't stink. It was absolutely superb for what it was. It really shows that Ren Narita has grown as a wrestler, but it also shows that Shibata can still hang with the best of New Japan. It was superb. I loved it. And the emotional kind of ending where they hugged it out, father and son, that gave me goose pimples. It was so cute. It was a great match.
Deal for Narita, right? Let's not, of course, we're all gushing over the fact that Shibata is there, but a big deal for Narita too, you know, off of his excursion. Well, still on excursion, actually, you know, and coming back Wrestle Kingdom to work with Shibata on a return match. I mean, just absolutely fantastic stuff. Absolutely fantastic stuff. Now, as far as them moving forward, kind of like what you were saying, well, like we were talking about, you know, I am very much under the confidence. I'm very confident. What a roundabout way to try and say something really simple, right?
You could tell it's early morning.
Or it's just Warren Hayes doing Warren Hayes things too. But I'm very confident in believing that Shibata is okay. He would not be cleared to wrestle even a grapple-based type of match if he wasn't cleared, if management wasn't confident in him doing so. That's why we did this here. Mm-hmm. And I sincerely think that they're going to keep going down this route and they are going to milk it for every drop that they can get out of this sympathy and excitement of seeing Shibata back. I think kind of like what Daniel Bryan did, because yes, he was still Daniel Bryan when he came back to WWE. And, you know, someone would drop him on his neck and then he'd clasp the back of his neck and we were all like this going, oh, no. You know, they're going to do the same thing. And we had a preview of that tonight when Shibata had his guard up over his head and Narita was trying to break it and he was holding it. He's going to milk that for a while. They teased at some point Narita pulling a suplex on him to try and drop him. And Shibata resisted. They're going to draw that out. And the first person who manages to drop Shibata on his head is going to be, it's going to be an emotional moment. It's going to be, as the kids like to call it, it's going to be heat. Mm-hmm. Something fierce.
And that guy needs to be Kenta. It has to be Kenta.
I think it has to be Kenta.
Yeah. I mean, I was wincing and cowering when I saw Renrita apply a headlock to Shibata. That's how worried I was for him. But I think you're right. If New Japan have any kind of way of making this have legs, it's keep Shibata from taking those big power moves until we get to that Kenta match.
As I said in the chat here, can you imagine Kenta hitting a GTS?
Oh my days! That or the Gottschall pile driver would make me press F in the chat for Shibata.
Because I don't think, look, I think it's important to stress just how close Katsuyori Shibata was to dying. Mm-hmm. Not just your neck is wrecked, pal. You can't wrestle again.
His brain was wrecked.
He came this close. Mm-hmm. That's what makes the whole thing so incredibly dramatic, right? Because no one wants to see. Do you want to see someone die live in a wrestling ring? No, I don't.
No.
No one wants
absolutely
that.
Absolutely not.
That's what's going to make this shit so good. So I hope, like, of course, I'm saying all of this, you know, talking about how excited I am and how what great storytelling this would be. Saying all of this under the presumption that everyone's good and that we do have solid medical science behind us. Because otherwise, no, just...
That's not the Japanese wrestling way.
What am I talking about? Tomohiro Ishii lost the Open Neverweight Championship to Evil. I think there was a match here behind all of the interference. Because it spills out to the floor really, really eerily. They swing chairs at each other. Dick Togo gets involved. They do the swing for the fences thing. Evil does is what I'm trying to say. The turnbuckle pads get taken off. Ishii gets tossed into it. He tries to fight back. Then Dick Togo uses a chair. Yujiro shows up, and he's does shit. Yo shows up as well.
I popped when Yo yawed up. That was amazing.
I think there was two wrestling moves in this match. I think there was a brainbuster. No, hang on. There was a superplex by Tomohiro Ishii, and he attempted his brainbuster, but he got a little blowed by Yujiro, and Evil ended the match with a belt shot followed by Everything is Evil. This was shit.
I hated it. But we predicted that this would happen. So we were prepared for this.
But
it was still horrible.
Did we expect it to be on the level of shit that we got?
It's the House of Torture.
No, I understand.
Shenanigans.
But did we expect... Because I'm not kidding when I say... Like, I'm being maybe slightly facetious. But there was no match here. There was no wrestling, per se.
The most wrestling moves that we got in this match was when Yo came out and cleaned house.
Which is ridiculous. He's not even in the fucking match.
Yeah, exactly. It was probably worse than we expected. And a match with Ishii in should not be this bad at all.
And do you know why I expected a better match? Because it's Wrestle Kingdom? And I at least expect some quality, some high level wrestling going on. This was bad.
The good thing is it was relatively short.
Long enough to make me hate it.
I mean, the opening, the entrance was long enough to make us hate it.
Now at this point on the card, I'm like, Show versus Yo was a disappointment to me, right? I'm like, nah, this didn't do it. I get two matches, where my reflex is like, never do this shit to me ever again. I got Shibata, which was my knight in shining armor at this point, and then this, and then I'm back to this. At this point, I'm like, this card stinks. What am I doing?
It was the New Japan version of Day One so far.
I mean, if they do look, if they want to compete with WWE, they're going down the right path. Anyway, at this point, thankfully we got the Dangerous Techers versus Hirooki Goto and Yoshihashi for the IWGP tag team titles to come in and start smoothing things out a little bit, setting the stage for what was to happen after. This was pretty good. And for me to get excited, Mags, for an IWGP Tag Team Championship match, that's saying something about the quality of the undercard.
Yeah, and not only an IWGP Tag Team match, but an IWGP Tag Team match involving Tachi, who you hate with all your heart, and Yoshihashi, who you have absolutely no feelings towards whatsoever.
And the dope is back. The goof is back. And I had a theory a couple of years ago that the New Japan graphics people were ribbing him. Because the official pictures they'd use for him, he just had the dopiest faces on. And I'm like...
Like he was surprised.
You know, sort of like... You know, it's like, look angry. You know, he's like... Like his angry face is always like a confusion of intensity and confusion. You know, it's always like And every picture they put out of him, he's got like this weird dopey look on his face. And I'm like, this cannot be the staff looking, oh, this is a very good picture, let's roll with it. It's got to be people going like...
Maybe he just takes such an awful picture that that was the best of an incredibly bad lot.
But can you imagine? Like, clearly, the guy's not photogenic, we get it. And they...
And poor Yoshi, you ugly, ugly person.
I'm not saying... No, hang on a second. There's a difference between being ugly and being and not being photogenic, right? Because you got to be able to talk to the camera, Max.
You do.
With how you present yourself. It doesn't, with your
it
eyes,
doesn't remind know? People of a building mop. He's certainly not that ugly.
No, no, no. But it's not a question of ugly. It's charisma. It's another... You know, you have... You have to bring the camera to you.
Charisma. He doesn't have charisma whatsoever.
So, look, anyway.
All shivers then.
This was pretty good. I enjoyed this match. The Chaos Guys double team Zack Sabre Jr. early on. But Zack Sabre Jr. starts doing Zack Sabre Jr. things on Yoshihashi. Goto tags in. But Zack Sabre Jr. is all over him. Again, getting him into all sorts of holes and moves. It's all, it's literally all Zack Sabre Jr. at this point. Yeah. And the Chaos Guys don't know what to do, Mags.
No, you're right. I mean, who does against the Zack Sabre Jr.? I think he may be the very best technical wrestler that that we've got. He's so damn good. The things he can do to not only his own body, but to other people's body, those positions don't look natural. And he's able to just pull them off and absolutely mock his opponent in the process as well. The grief he gives him, the shit talking, mm-hmm. the it's just brilliant. He's so, so good at it.
He is very good at it. Finally, Goto hits a Yushigiroshi that gets things back in control here. Yoshihashi and Taichi have a great strike exchange also at some point. There's a hook kick and a Saito suplex by Taichi, which had me popping. Yoshihashi fights off both techers with a bunch of kicks and a dragon sleeper. The Shoto lands on Zack Sabre Jr. Lands on Taichi, excuse me, but Zack Sabre Jr. barely beats the count to free up his buddy. Taichi hits a Gedo clutch, a destroyer by Yoshihashi, a GTR. Excuse me. It's like, what is the note I just wrote? Yeah, which was really cool.
So that came from Taichi going for the Black Mephisto, then Zack coming in to attempt the Zack Mephisto, and then Yoshi able to counter into the destroyer. Brilliant, brilliant little segment of moves. And then Goto with that reverse GTR. Yeah, it was superb. Good, great little finish.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we got new champs. Hirooki Goto and Yoshihashi. It's Yoshihashi's first official IWGP title. It's his first IWGP title, right? Okay.
No, he's been a champion before. The six man's.
But those are they're never weights. They're open.
That's fair.
They're never open weights, not never weights. Yeah. What's a never weight? It's like a never nude, I guess. It's like people who... I don't know. I just don't know.
Early in the morning.
Yep. No, but it's his first IWGP title, so good for him, for real.
Yeah. Because Andy. He's got the potential of coming out of tomorrow as a double champion.
Absolutely.
So we're guaranteed to get at least one double champion coming out of Nat 2 now. wow.
For all the grief that I give his goofiness, Yoshihashi has been a very solid member of the mid-card in New Japan. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to say lower mid card. I think he's climbing up there. I think it's fantastic stuff what he's been doing. Mm-hmm. He had a fantastic G1. I think, like, let's throw him some flowers, give him some titles. Maybe Gedo doesn't really see him as a singles guy, you know, all that much. And that's fair. You know, I don't think Yoshihashi has a very high ceiling regardless.
No, this is it. This is
but this,
this
is good
his,
for him.
His heart. Yeah, absolutely. He's had a great year. I think his him and Goto have been great dance partners. The feud that they've had with Dangerous Techers has been fun. It's been a good year for Yoshashi, and this was a great way to round it off.
And from everything I understand, he's very, very well liked in the locker room as well. He's a good guy. So sure, why not give the good guys a little something once in a while?
Mm-hmm. Yep, agreed.
So that set the stage for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. Champion El Desperado successfully retained his title against the star, Hiromu Takahashi. Then they look. They start with some strikes and chops to begin with. There's running. They run the ropes. Lots of misdirection and fake outs, which I really dug. Strike each other with some elbows. We get suplexes and a hurricane run and a senton dive to the floor by El Desperado on Hiromu. Hiromu hits a sunset bomb off the apron to the floor. Mags, super hot opening.
Amazing. And then we get that Suzuki versus Kojima style slap battle.
Yeah.
Which was absolutely everything. I mean, you could see from the very first slap that there was welts on Desperado's chest. They were holding nothing back. And can we just mention the drip from these two? I mean, Desperado looked absolutely amazing all in white. I think he looked ever the star. But that technicolored dream octopus core of
fantastic stuff.
Oh my God.
Just goes above and beyond it every time. Last year it was
gorgeous.
Last year it was the feather coat, right? Mm-hmm. And this year he decides to go with the tentacles.
If Queenie is still in the chat, she needs to do a hashtag wrestling fashion on this show because it was outstanding.
It really was. Yeah, because we still have another some more attire to talk about. Just some fantastic stuff. Hiromu with a great belly-to-belly throw into the corner, just tossing El Desperado into the corner, which was fantastic. He hits a shotgun dropkick and a dynamite plunger. And at this point, Hiromu is actually stringing offense for the first time in the entire match. Both, there was a lot of back and forth. One guy would hit a big move. The other guy would counter with another big move, so on and so forth. He goes for the time bomb. It's reversed into a crucifix bomb. They have this great reversal exchange that ends up with El Desperado locking Hiromu up into a numero dos, and he had to work for it, which I thought was great. That was the best part of that exchange, where it wasn't just a quick reversal into the thing. Hiromu fought him the entire way, which I thought was great. El Desperado hits an MK Ultra on Hiromu as well, and Hiromu avoids a pinche loco, runs the ropes, runs right into a straight right, that, which was fantastic. There's another pinche loco attempt, which Hiromu rolls through and into a super close near fall. But then shortly after that, there's another straight right by El Desperado that drops Hiromu, pinche loco. A second pinche loco on top of that. Mm-hmm. El Desperado with the big Wrestle Kingdom retention of the title. That is a show of confidence right there for the champ.
Yep, and if you go back to the prediction show that we did, it's something that I felt needed to happen. We needed Desperado to win this match because there's levels in this junior division, and Hiromu sits atop that
division.
Oh,
absolutely.
In terms of star power, in terms of wrestling, and he needed to bring someone up to his level, and this match did exactly that. Desperado looked every single part of the champion. And Hiromu comes out of this looking as strong as ever. So hopefully this feud continues forever, because it was just it was a glorious match. If there is ever a reason to watch this card, this was the match. It was so damn good.
It's absolutely. I'm absolutely in agreement with you, Magsy. It was fantastic. The and as far as elevation goes, look at what happens here. Like you said, you know, Hiromu's the star. You don't need to put a belt on Takahashi. Mm-hmm. You really don't. He's the star of the division. It's just as simple as that. El Desperado gets the big win over the star. Over, well, I think we both called Hiromu winning, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
You called Desperado? Well, I know I called Hiromu. and goes probably above many predictions, right? Everyone's like, oh, well, Wrestle Kingdom, Best of Super Juniors, champion, of course, you know. But he gets the win. Like you said, he elevates. But look at what they've been doing with the junior division. I think the junior division has been, it's at its most interesting as it's been in a while. Robbie Eagles this year, you know, had a great had a great showing, and I think he's fantastic. I still think there's room for him to be used even better, but he's already fantastic. Look at what they're doing with Yo, right?
Yep.
Something that neither of us really saw coming in regards to his match, and especially how it ended, where he stood tall, not only over the victory, but over the post-match beatdown. You've got Sho, who is a fan favorite, a critical darling already. You know, they've got some fantastic elements. And, you know, if you did watch the Super Juniors tournament this year, Kanemaru was having a fantastic tournament on top of that. Like, at some point I was like, I'm rooting for Kanemaru to win the thing. So the junior division right now in New Japan, I think they've done a really good job at placing players, creating players, people that you'll get excited about, because El Desperado can't continuously go to the Hiromu well. We've got to get more people in there so that the challenges are exciting and that we look forward to them.
Yeah, and once Japan reopens, we've always got that it factor of Ryu Lee coming back. I mean, that guy back in New Japan will be absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Him against Despe will be a sight to behold. But you're right, New Japan definitely needed to put more people in spots where they would look legitimate against Hiromu, and this match and how they've really the Super Juniors has proved that they're going very much in the right direction with him.
Want to say hello to Robert Channels, who joined us in the chat. Welcome, Robert.
Hello.
Main event time, Shingo Takagi, the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, lost his title to a guy named Kazuchika Okada. Don't know if you've ever heard of him, Mags.
A young up-and-comer, apparently.
He wore a fancy robe. No, but did you see that his robe contained a written history of New Japan?
Yeah,
that was great. That was awesome.
The respect that guy has got for not only New Japan but for wrestling in general. Mm-hmm. He is everything that is good about wrestling.
Yeah, I agree. You're absolutely right. So we know this match is going to go long, right? There's, you know, no question about it. And they have an extended feeling out period, which is par for the course. Shingo dumps Okada to the floor. Okada hits that DDT that he'd been hitting all throughout the G1 and so on and so forth. But Shingo essentially no-sells it and suplexes
Okada. How dare he? Who does he think he is? Hulk?
Exactly! Exactly! Where's the outrage? Selling a DDT. What the hell, man? Back in the ring, Shingo drills Okada as well. Big back suplex. Get Okada fighting back. He hits a flapjack. He sets Shingo up on the top rope and he drop kicks him to the floor, which is always a fantastic spot. He kicks Shingo over the rail, then runs, does a crossbody.
How far did he go with that crossbody?
Fantastic, that, right?
That looked unnatural.
He's just brilliant. When you get Rainmaker Okada, right? This is exactly what you get. This is what you expect.
He's a big match player.
He's always been
a big match player, and yeah, he brought it. Shingo has been the most consistent wrestler for the past 18 months, but Okada brought it in this match, and it was fabulous.
It really was. Back in the ring, Shingo hits a Noshigami, a wheelbarrow suplex as well. He gets locked back into a money clip. We get the spinning tombstone and another money clip on top of that. And Okada then attempts to hit a Rainmaker, but it's reversed into a huge lariat by our boy Shingo. And they just go for a big exchange of lariats. Get a drop kick. They're just bowling each other down, really.
I mean, this match was in top gear from the first minute. But when Shingo did the Rainmaker pause, Okada was pissed.
Well, do you think that when wrestlers train to be wrestlers, do you think they're trained to get really, really offended when people do their moves or do their hand gestures, right? Because it systematically pisses wrestlers off all the time. You know, like if let's say, I don't know, hang on, let me think for a second. If let's say Disco Inferno were to do this to DDP, right? To Diamond Dallas Page.
That's a poor analogy. Who in this match is on the level of Disco Inferno? Nobody.
But the point being that then DDP gets really, really mad, you know? But it's just like, dude, he's just, you know what he's doing, you know? I don't know.
Are you saying that wrestling may be scripted, sir?
I'm saying wrestlers are petty as shit. That's what I'm saying.
They're protective of
their IP.
And of their moves.
They're protective of their IP, for sure. The guys go back on the floor. They go up the ramp. Shingo hits a DVD on the ramp, which was great. Then we get back into the ring. Shingo is in control. Superplex, sliding D. Okada gets back with a drop kick and a pair of short arm lariats. Shingo hits two, count them, two Made in Japans. Mm-hmm. Hits the pumping bomber. But our boy Okada is fighting through. And I don't want to say that this telegraphed the ending. But I'm like, you know what? This is starting to feel like an Okada win here. This is starting to feel, but I'll be damned if it wasn't exciting. Last of the Dragons is reversed into a Rainmaker.
Yes.
But Okada can't cover because Shingo is a strong, strong boy that has been pummeling him for the past 20 or so minutes at this point. Avalanche DDT by Okada. I thought Shingo was dead. He landed straight on his head. I thought that was done.
It looked so brutal.
It was insane. He German suplexes Shingo, but Shingo fights back with a headbutt and a lariat. Dragon suplex by Shingo on top of that. He runs the ropes. And that's where that was his mistake.
Yes.
Because Okada catches him with the drop kick, hits the landslide. It's academic at this point. Rainmaker. It's done. Clean as a whistle. 1, 2, 3. Kazuchika Okada is your new IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. What do you think of the match, Lord Magsworth?
It was orgasmic. Two of the best wrestlers in the world doing what they do best on the biggest stage. It was superb. The rat for me, as much as I love Shingo, he is my boy. The rat move with Okada coming out on top, because New Japan need those fans back, and Okada will definitely bring those back. But they left everything in this ring.
They really did.
Everything. And I put on Twitter that if this was in the Tokyo Dome, this would be a 7-star match. And you know what? It was in the Tokyo Dome. So give Dave Meltzer, If you have any integrity, give this 7 stars, sir.
What's his? He gave 7 stars to Okada Omega 3, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's his only 7-star match, right?
It is.
Okay.
But then again, he also gave 4.75 to Moxley versus Omega match that he said he absolutely hated, but he got 4.75 stars. So,
oh well, yeah,
swings and roundabouts.
Exactly, whatever. This kind of ties in because I saw a lot of people reacting on Twitter to, were happy Okada has the belt, but Shingo's been done dirty, kind of thing, right?
I don't subscribe to that.
I don't either.
I saw a lot of love for Shingo. Absolutely has deserved it. And there's no doubt in my mind he will be there again.
No question.
This is the Okada that dragged me kicking and screaming into New Japan. This is that level of Okada. We've had him fall, his fall from grace, and he's kind of like joking and messing around with the balloons, and he's made his way all the way back to being the best wrestler in the world. Mm-hmm. And this is a great kind of redemption for him. I thought it was a perfectly done match.
I think it was a fantastic match, and it's kind of like when we were talking about when we did the preview show. I can't blame New Japan for going back to the old standards and claiming returning to Okada at the top. And because 2021 was not a good year for New Japan. Small gates, wrestlers getting sick and hurt right and left. They need a stable 2022. They need to go back to the standards that people know, people want. I'm convinced Hiroshi Tanahashi is going to have a bigger role to play in New Japan in 2022. Like I said, I think that's even what I said, is that they're going to run back a Tanahashi feud. I'm convinced. 100% convinced.
And with the crossover event with Noah happening, Okada is their standard bearer. He had to be in a prominent position going into that, so it absolutely made sense that Okada, again, you mentioned Tanahashi, yeah, it makes sense that he's up there because that's what brought so many foreign fans to the dance. I mean, I know a lot of it was the Bullet Club, but once they left, people stayed for Tanahashi, they stayed for Okada,
right?
And we, New Japan, need to go back to that well to bring those fans back in.
No, I completely agree, and look, I don't think financially this was a good year at all for the company. We're going to see in a couple of weeks when their financials do pop up. I don't want to say it's, because I'm no business analyst, but I don't want to say it was a disaster, but I don't think it was any good. So I don't blame New Japan Pro Wrestling at all for going back down this route. And I don't see it as a mark that Shingo didn't do the job, that they weren't satisfied with him. I'm with you. Shingo Takagi is my wrestler of the year for 2021. I don't think anyone has been more consistent, good to excellent matches every single time, no matter what the match was, whoever his opponent was. There's no one who worked on his level this year in such high profile matches. Nobody. Consistently.
And if I had one kind of nitpick about this match, it was the very end. I think that Okada should have Medusa'd that belt, thrown it straight in the trash, and kept with the V4. But I do like that he paid the respects to the V4, laid it down, and essentially said, I know everybody hates this belt, but tough titties, it's sticking around. Say bye bye.
There were so many people who were like, keep the old belt, Kazu, hang on to that one. And it's like, oh, let's unify and bring the... No, I was convinced. We're like, no, they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. But I did like the idea of Okada being like, putting the belt to rest, giving it a proper send-off. I think that was good. Mm-hmm. After the match, on top of that, Will Ospreay came out to cut a promo. Will Ospreay, by the way, I don't think we mentioned it. His haircut is extremely offensive to me.
It looks like I mean, you probably call them ramen noodles. It looks like he's got ramen noodles sellotaped to his head.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
It's terrible. And he comes and he cuts a promo.
Willie.
Was it you and I we were talking about? I don't remember who I was talking about this with, but very, very recently. I don't remember. I don't think Will Ospreay cuts great promos. I don't think he's a great promo guy.
Oh, he was awful. He was awful.
He tries too hard.
He screwed up the name of the title. He screwed up the name of the title. It was ridiculous.
But he tries too hard. Like, regardless of the... I think if he dialed it back a little, and instead of putting on too much, and just stayed a little more natural to himself, I think it'd come across a lot better. But he's... look, he tries too hard. Anyway, he basically comes in to set up the match for tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Which he'll lose, hopefully.
Well, that was both of our predictions. Are we sticking with that?
Yeah, I think so. I can't see Okada going into the Noah Show on the back of a loss to Wet White Willie.
Again, so, like I said, I think when we were talking at the prediction show, I think the Noah Show telegraphs the fact that Will wasn't winning the title.
Yeah,
I'm convinced, and if that was one thing, and the other part is just like we talked about business wise. If they're gonna go back to the old reliables, so I don't as good as Ospreay can be. He's an unproven draw, which was the same thing with Shingo, whereas. Okada's the complete opposite. Okada's proven draw.
And moving forward, there's always money in an extended feud between Ospreay and Okada.
Of course.
That kind of older brother versus younger brother, teacher, master.
Between all three of those guys. You've got a great little feud triangle here with Okada and Shingo and Will. You've got a really fun... trio that you can go back to anytime. I think you're absolutely right. I think it's really, really interesting. But yeah, like, again, not saying that Will Ospreay can't draw. I don't know. And you don't know either because he didn't have a chance to. Same thing with Shingo, considering the circumstances. Can you say that Shingo Takagi was or wasn't a draw in 2022? I can't tell you. Because the business with COVID in Japan was just all over the place nonsense.
Both Will and Shingo, their title reigns have been tainted by extreme bad luck.
Yep.
Shingo with the pandemic and Will essentially getting injured as soon as he won the title. A fully fit Will an event with crowds, maybe it'll be a different thing. But as of now, it makes absolute sense for Okada to be the face of that company because that brings back those lapsed fans. And then he can work on elevating Will and keeping Shingo elevated to push forward into 2023.
I agree. And you see, we still no sign of Kota Ibushi, but that guy's still around too. And he's another sure value too.
And there's always Tetsuya Naito. Naito's always in the wings.
There you go. So, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of that this year. We'll see what happens. In the meantime, though. So, if we were to wrap up Wrestle Kingdom Night 1, Mags, what would be your consensus for the match, for the show?
Skip the first four matches. Watch the last three.
I say it's a two-match show. It's a two-match show.
The tag match was fun, but
I think it's nothing to write home about.
I get that. Yeah, the two main events are five stars all day long.
Mm-hmm.
The tag match I really enjoyed. The rest is fun fodder. Well, but definitely don't watch the House of Torture versus Ishii and your shenanigans, because that's a skid mark on the underpants of Wrestle Kingdom.
If there's look on my end, I recommend the co-main event. I think it's fantastic. If you want to see Katsuyori Shibata, just go at it with Ren Narita, which is a good time. Go right ahead. But again, like, it's nothing that'll blow your mind. It's more like the idea of Shibata wrestling again, right? And having a fun dynamic match.
It's the potential of what is yet to come with Shibata.
There you go. If you want to feel good, you go for it. Everything else on this card is highly skippable. And hopefully forgettable. My God. Anyway, that Ishii evil match, man. Anyway, match. I use the word very liberally. But hey, that was Wrestle Kingdom Night 1. We are going to be back tomorrow to post-show Wrestle Kingdom Night 2. Mags and I once again. In the meantime, Mags, why don't you let everyone know where they can locate you on social media and whatnot?
Yes, so thank you very much. I always have a good time whilst I'm here on the Mr. Warren Hayes Show. You can follow me on Twitter at RealBuilderMott, where I am usually bullying young up-and-comers in NXT and being very, very abusive. Or you can get me on my backup account, Podfather Mags. Yeah, my burner account, Podfather Mags. In terms of content, I'm all over the shop. If there's a podcast out there, I've probably been on it. If you've got an idea of a podcast, I've already been on that podcast. I'd really like people to go and check out Chain Wrestling. I have such a fun time with that show. Me and Si Powell, we take one match and kind of review it and then link the next match to for the show, and we let the Twitter family vote on which match we go to, and it's just a fun time looking at the silliness and also the technical brilliance of wrestling. So yeah, go and check that out.
Excellent. Well, for sure, Mags has got his fingers in all sorts of stuff, so go check it out. Go follow Mags on Twitter. All of his stuff is there. So there we go. Thank you very much, Mags. I appreciate it. Thank you for joining me.
And I appreciate you. Oh, and you. Not so much you, but all of you.
That's some weird stuff right there. It's like, I can see you. But hey, thank you all very much as well for joining us today. Live here, listening whenever you can. If you enjoyed it, give the video a thumbs up. Otherwise, hope to see you all tomorrow for our Night 2 post show. So be sure to hang around. Thank you all so very much. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Why is this not working? The music's not playing.
Warren Hayes Show doing Warren Hayes Show.
Of course, exactly. We'll see you next time.